everything in its path. I would expect it to be more of a burying
distance.
Are you a bee knight?
Are you a bee? Do you know this for a fact? Did you get in Miss Frizzle's airplane and go driving down the highway into a big old hive and then just talk with the bees?
Yes.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pointless Discourse with myself, Apocalypse, and D-Pain, and a special guest.
Hello, I'm Knight.
I thought you were going to be fond of my lobster.
This is your... Is it third now? Fourth?
Third, I think?
I think third.
Third. Because we... Yeah. With System Shock, when we had our first duo guest episode. Both. And then Christmas.
Christmas. And this.
And this.
I don't know. We probably could have looked that up easier.
No, that would be too easy.
That would require us not to flex our memory muscles.
But look, now it's Knight's turn to talk about himself.
Yeah, we didn't say that was one of the things that you had to do, but now it is.
Hi, I'm Knight. I play games on the internet. I talk about weird movies. And I don't know what all the other stuff I do. I don't know what else I do. I do those things.
You host a butt ton of legacy board games.
More than is probably good for my good for me, but such is life.
You test your sanity on Sanity Loss, the Call of Cthulhu podcast that he's on. We had John and Elizabeth on earlier, where just like this week, we watched, I think, a romantic comedy.
Yes, this is very much a romantic
comedy. There's a lot
comedy.
Less kissing in this one.
Is there?
Less, but not none.
More than expected. I don't know. I don't have your resume.
For video watchers, Knight has a special themed background. So if you didn't read the title, you can definitely figure out what movie we're going to talk about this episode.
Two old men sitting on a house.
One of them is not that old. One of them is conventionally attractive, even.
Yeah.
Too bad he's got
Living
other
you, Defoe.
Issues.
Before I forget, I'm going to share the fact. The fact. I forgot what fact we're on. I think it's 15. That's the music thing I use. Where's the spreadsheet? There's a spreadsheet. It is fact 15. Hey guys. Did you know that the psychological film horror film Hereditary was A24's highest grossing film worldwide when the company acquired it back in the 2018 Sundance Film Festival? You also know, we're not contractually required, but we do watch Hereditary more than we should. And it's also the one that we have the hardest of getting anybody on. Knight was one of those. And he said no.
But it was one of the highest grossing A24 films at the time.
That's my fact. Knight said no to Hereditary.
Was that when they explicitly offered separately? I don't remember.
Yeah, that was in...
Or is it just one of the choices?
It was the first option, because I was like, hey, we need somebody. We had to record that back in December/January. And you're like, I'm good.
Yeah, we had like nobody want to watch that movie. We had to find a horror movie podcaster to watch that movie with us.
And it was fun. It also turned out it was like between the three of us, it was watched almost 10 times before.
Yeah, I had watched it. That was my third or fourth watch through. Because we watched it last Halloween.
Yeah, we watched it last Halloween. I think that was my third.
That was your third as well. Okay.
Well, I may have watched this one three times as well, just to try to figure out what was going on. So.
You did more work than I did.
This is my second watch through of it. But
I do have just a question that I wanted to ask everybody. All right. And just to get your opinion on. I've been brewing this over for a couple days. So, say you're dressed like a tree, and if you see a bee, and a bee flies past you and flies home, and it does its dance, do you think that the bee, when you move, would be lost because you were part of the dance? Knight is laughing because I said this exact question for this week.
Well, the question was a little bit different in the that the other version was not if you're dressed as a tree. It was just, are you part of the dance?
When I was sharing the story, I was had brown pants, green sweatshirt. So I was implying I was a tree.
I did not actually catch that.
Yeah, no, you guys went straight into science and said, no, D-Pain, we're not here to have fun. We're not here to have fun with your weird thoughts.
So, okay. So let me map this out in my head. Mm-hmm. There is a bee.
Yes.
And you are in the bee's path towards its home.
Yeah.
But you are not the tree that the bee lives in.
No.
But you are
not the tree. Yes, correct. We are not the tree that the bee lives in.
Okay. So you're asking, if you were to move and throw off the bee as he's doing his dance pattern, will it confuse mm-hmm. the bee because you were originally part of its flight plan?
Exactly. It's like, hey, watch out for that building. I don't know any new airplanes. I was about to say B-52 bomber.
Don't worry. As far as I know, I haven't done research on it myself, but Boeing stuff. I feel like I should read more about what's going on with Boeing.
They got a whole bunch of problems, yeah, which is a whole another podcast.
I was going to say, we can go down that path. That's a very different topic, but we can go down that path.
Doors? Who needs them?
well, I mean, the more concerning thing is...
Yes. I know about the dude bro.
Yeah. My brakes. What happened to my brakes? Anyway. Yeah. In any case... I say yes, because the bees run into windows, so I don't imagine the bee will be able to remember that the tree was somewhere else a second ago if you move out of your position.
See, I am reasonably confident that the dance that the bees do is not describing everything in its path. I would expect it to be more of a burying a distance. Knight?
Are you a bee? Do you know this for a fact? Airplane and go or bus and go driving down the highway into a big old hive and then just talk with the bees?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, look, from my understanding, bee dancing is really just to be like, guys, there's food in this general direction. So like, will the bee fly into you? Yeah, so like, will the bee fly into you and get confused? Yes, but then it's just going to fly around you and keep going north.
I want to see the part of the bee dance when it slams its face into a window 30 times.
Yeah,
there's Jedediah. He's a little slow.
Yeah, like I've had friends that have like used to have those big wood bees, and every summer mm-hmm. they would put out really nice flowers, and then part of the landscape noises was just bzz, dunk, bzz, dunk, bzz, dunk. It's like, yeah, the flowers aren't in the glass. They're on the they're right next to it. But it's okay, buddy. You're
nah,
trying.
Nah, I know it's here. I can feel it in my bones. I got a divining rod.
Oh, we watched Minari?
I watched a stinking TikTok where someone... I don't know. It was something different, but they're just like, he's walking, and all of a sudden, it's just like the two sticks go... He's like, there's water down here. And he's like, how do you know that? And then it's like, they dig it up and there's like a water line in there. And it's just like, it could work. Or he just knew the blueprints of the house.
Oh, so it wasn't like a water table like a Minari. It was literally just
it was
ordinance line.
PCP pipe going to the house.
PVC? Yeah. Yes. Hey, it could have been sewer. Whatever. He could have found the sewer line. That's terrible drinking water.
It's just flavored.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of minerals in there. But in any case...
It's the good stuff.
Speaking of poop, we watched a movie that has poop in it. You're welcome, guys. I did.
Among other things.
Yes, so in case it wasn't clear from D-Pain sharing a fact about the A24 production company, we are watching 24 movies... by A24 for the year 2024. And this is a guest episode because I've watched this movie before. So I was like, let's bring somebody else to chat about it. So this week, because I mentioned poop, I guess I'll go ahead and reveal that in case you didn't see it in the title, we watched The Lighthouse.
It's right, well, this side, right there.
It's right there.
I got there.
I don't have any lighthouses.
You do have something else that's kind of in the movie.
This hula dancer?
all over.
The robot?
Yeah.
the my Christmas gift. Oh wait, hold on. If I move the mic, there's a bee.
Did he
the
get
fun
confused?
Thing is, probably it's been stuck there for a while. The fun thing is, I think the way this video will be cropped, no one will see that.
Fun. But yeah, so if you don't want spoilers for The Lighthouse, because it is technically within 5 years, right? It was 2019.
Yes.
Turn back now, because we're going to be sharing a quick synopsis of it and then talking about it. Spoilers galore.
Real quick, I want A24 to acquire the rights to the Bee Movie and remake it. Now that we talked about bees.
I've never watched the Bee Movie.
Me neither. But all I know is the memes that I see on the internet. And it just cracks me up to think that everyone in that world except one dude is A-okay with this girl falling in love with a bee. That's all I know about it. That and someone put it all into a Skyrim book.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people will, like, do stuff with the whole script of the Bee Movie.
I think it's so big that it crashes Skyrim.
Fantastic.
But yes, because of the themes in this movie, do we want to roll a D100 like you would in, say, Call of Cthulhu?
Oh, we're doing sanity rolls.
I have dice this week, spoilers.
Yeah, we go back and forth. Oh, so she can't cheat.
I mean, I could. It's easier to cheat. There's no screen.
Wait, we could cheat? yep, so Call of Cthulhu rules. Lowest one has to give a quick synopsis, like a 30-second synopsis of the movie, and roll. I rolled a number, which I can safely say I don't think I'm going to go.
Is zero on the D10, that's a 10, right?
Yes.
So if I rolled a 20 on my...
So you rolled a 20.
20, no, 20 plus 10, so 30.
That would be 20.
No, it's just
20. Flat 20.
Flat 20. Because there's
it's basically the ones unit plays.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The
10s
is the one. The only time it gets really confusing is when you roll all zeros, because then it's 100.
Okay.
And good, I'm safely in the middle at 49.
My first digit is a 2, so if your first digit is lower than that, D-Bane.
Well, I have a whopping comp. It's going to be close. 74.
So close.
Very close.
Confusing, even. Anyway, so synopsis time. I don't remember the last time I've given a synopsis.
That makes two of us. Because
you had to give the one for the movie next week, which you didn't want to give.
Yes. I'm not looking forward to part two of that movie.
Prequels. Okay. So the synopsis for The Lighthouse. Sorry, I was also discussing movie theory with Strider right before this movie about different things. So I was going to give it a synopsis, but... Okay, I'll do the straightforward synopsis. Two dudes, lighthouse, stir crazy.
Two dudes in a hot tub. 5 feet apart.
These two dudes are not scared to be close. Well, sometimes, but sometimes not. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes a little. Sometimes a little kissy. Sometimes a little no kissies. Sometimes a little punchy. Enemies to lovers, maybe.
I was hearing a noise and I wasn't sure if that was my phone going off, but I just also realized that I never set the timer. Oh, it was my phone going off. Yeah. 30-minute timer, everybody who's never been part of this. If this is your first episode, where we will talk all the nonsense about the movie. Like, the very important lines of what? What? What?
What? What?
What?
What?
What?
What?
What?
What?
Exactly. That is one of the quotes.
Look, I'm Tom. You Tom? Tom me. I'm Tom. No, you're Tom. Yes, I am Tom.
Oh, man. And then my favorite one. You're fond of my lobster, ain't he? I seen it. You're fond of my lobster. Say it.
I just want a steak.
I'll let you finish that line. And with that, we are going to start the timer in now.
And now that we take it to rated R.
I think, just starting it off somewhere, I think the black and white palette choice helped a lot with the creep factor.
Yeah. So I'll just go ahead and say it now. I really like this movie because it doesn't make sense, and I understand if it doesn't make sense, a lot of people won't like this movie. But the black and white, I think if it wasn't in black and white, I don't think I'd like it the same way. Because something about it being in black and white, I was like, yes, I've opened a used book from a bookstore and I don't know anything that it's about, and I'm in for a ride. And the movie starts and I'm go, yeah, this is a ride.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely would not have worked the same way. Color or even like higher end. Like, it's also not just that it's black and white, but it's also that grainy black and white that has... Mm-hmm. You don't have like the crisp, super clear imagery. It has that grainy, overcast-ish fog to it throughout.
And I think the opening scene is one of the best ways to show it, like to explain it, because it starts off with just a gray thing. And then as the ship slowly goes to the lighthouse, things start coming into form mm-hmm. and stuff. Where I was like, is this copy I'm watching bugged? What's going on here? And it wasn't. It was just gray.
So. Just like everything in this movie. Everything is gray. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Morals, opinions, truths. It's all gray.
I also, at the beginning of the movie, thought old man Defoe was just wanting the night shift, so he got out of keeping the house clean and fixed and repaired.
But according to Ye Manuel... Who cares about your manual? I get the light.
Yep. Oh my goodness. I would have been so pissed off if I... Because like when he was showing the chores and like how like physically demanding they were. And then I'm like, he has to carry that stupid can up all the stairs. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way this is real. And then he's just like... What are you doing, lad?
Use
he's like
this hands next on the time. Thing.
And I'm just like, I would have been so pissed.
Carry it back down where he got it from.
I mean, you could tell he was extremely upset in this whole exchange, but couldn't show it because he was the junior and was afraid mm-hmm. of getting written up, which the amount of gaslighting that Defoe's character played throughout this movie is insane.
But the fun thing, was he gaslighting or was the quote-unquote main character? Again, there's different movie theories. But Robert Pattinson's character, was he just, like, assuming a lot of stuff? Because the two of them never actually talk to each other. The one recites, like, verses and sings sea shanties. And the other one goes, weird, I don't want to clean it again. And then he starts yelling at him. Like, when he's like, swab the floors again. He's like, no, there's only so much I can do. This place is terrible. And William Dafoe is like, if I told you to unplank it and replank it, you'd do it twice over because I said so.
And you'll like it.
I'm like, man, no wonder the first guy went crazy. I also thought it was funny how He's like, it's bad fortune to harm a seabird. And he's just like, okay. And then it's like instantly the bird's like, yo, I heard what you can't do, yo, bro.
But yeah, and then there's the whole thing where he said like the previous guy that worked there had the one eye and the seagull only has the one eye. And then he goes, well, you don't harm them because those are previous maritime men and they get reincarnated into seagulls. And Robert Pattinson's character goes, you know what?
Yeah. Well, it was like, oh no, it was just one of those things, like, that whole part was, it was already a little bit confusing because he's just like, okay, it's the beauty of black and white, because it's like, what water was coming out of the pump? Because it definitely wasn't
clean. It wasn't drinking water.
Because it's like, is it blood? Is it like, did someone mess up the bathroom? That's later. And then it's just, you go in, there's just a dead bird in there, and it's just like, how did that happen?
How did the bird even get in the cistern at that point?
Exactly. It wasn't. I thought he. Oh yeah, I guess it was closed. And then he's just like, okay.
Yeah, because there's the bit in the beginning where he says he's not going to drink alcohol because he's a good boy, and it says in the manual you don't drink on the job. Mm. And then the old man laughs at him and says, and then he laughs at him again because he drinks from the cistern and it tastes like butt. And the old man's like, oh yeah, you should tend to that.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's one of your duties. Tend to the cistern.
And then, yeah, that was, yeah, because I remember, right before that, he's like, I'm like, it's showing, like, them. He's like, you gotta paint the sides, boy. And I'm just like, heck with that. And then it's like, the whole scaffolding thing breaks and falls. And then
stop wiggling around. He's like, I'm not.
That he's like on the ground. He wakes up and the bird's like pecking his shoe. And I'm like, he won't kill that bird.
It pooped on his, or I thought it pooped on his face the first time I watched it, but I realized it's probably splattered paint. But it could also be bird poop.
It could be.
It could also be dirt that was knocked up from how he landed. And
I didn't notice that specifically, but on his face, he has a white streak. So I was like, it could be bird poop. It could be the paint that's splattered.
It could be blood.
Not with the color that it came out from the bird.
Oh. But, and then I later I'm like, well, he got the bird all right. But it's just, I'm like, okay, how the heck is he going to hide the literal repainting of the cistern from old Crazy McGee up there? But yeah, but that was the other thing where it was just, because they were only there for a month, right?
Who knows what time is.
Yeah,
they're supposed to be there for a month, and then he kills the seagull and the wind changes immediately afterwards.
Yeah, well, what I was getting, like, originally it was only supposed to be a month, and then it's like he kills the gull, and then it's just, as Hop was saying, like, time gets loosey-goosey, and it's just, but I'm like, wow, that, I was expecting a little bit more build-up. It was more just like, all right.
Yeah, because they celebrate that they're leaving tomorrow, air quotes, and then they get schwasted, and then he blames him. He's like, oh, it's because we got drunk. That's why we don't drink on the job. And he's like, bro, that was weeks ago. He's like, what do you mean it was weeks ago?
Yeah.
You've been saying for weeks you're going to take the boat out. Like, wait, what?
I told you weeks ago you gotta deal with the supplies and ration better. There's a bad storm. He's like, none of this makes sense. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, which I was wondering if Defoe was even real for a while, because I'm like, the way it felt going was like Defoe was the part of Robinson who was like the sanity part of it his dwindling sanity while, and also like the original person that was there. Cause like he gets to a point where he's like, I killed a dude, and turns out it's like, no, that was before he even got here. But it was like, I don't know. That was one of the things I was wondering with the unsureness of time, was the person that was there already, or the person that came off with Robinson, killed by Robinson, and then this is him, like, the storm's there, he's going crazy, and it's just like, that was weeks ago. What are you talking about? No. And he just is reliving the whatevers.
Yeah. From my understanding, that is a movie theory that, like, both Toms are really just one guy, and it's like that loss of time and sense of self. Because I think people said usually for lighthouse keepers, again, I didn't do my own research, but typically you have like one guy out at a time. So like it would fit that theory that if most lighthouses usually only have one keeper at a time, that this is really just, there's not two dudes, it's one dude who's been there for too long. Because there is that one line for William Dafoe's character where he talks about, like, the one guy was stuck out here for several months. And yeah. Younger guy was like, I'm going to kill myself then. Like, that, I cannot do that.
Yeah. And it's just like one of those things where it's just like, okay. I'm like, it could be a real thing. It could be two dudes going nuts. Because then it's like, Dafoe's character. I gotta scroll up to remember their names. What's his face?
Tom 1 and Tom 2.
Yeah. Wake was the story of how he heard his leg was constantly changing. Right?
I think
that. Yeah, because he's like, you said you were in the war. You said you were a cop. You said you. Like, it was like. He has that one bit where he lists off all the reasons why he's like a liar.
Yeah.
To which Dafoe's character replies basically, you confessed the worst thing in the world to me, and all this, like, okay.
So.
You confessed that you basically left a guy to die in a wood chopper, effectively.
I didn't do him in, but I saw the jam and I didn't do nothing to save him. Sorry.
I just took over his identity.
He has a clean slate. I did not, so I took the chance. No, the thing that makes me laugh...
It's like Locke all over again. Come on.
The thing that makes me laugh about Robert Pattinson is I've seen him in several movies where he has these, like, really rough American type of accents, and then people in an interview were like, yeah, he doesn't like to use a linguistics coach. He just kind of, like, wings it, and I'm like, that's why he sounds like every kind of New Englander smashed together at different points for different reasons. Because sometimes he feels very, like, Maine accent. Other times he feels, like, kind of almost New York-y. And I'm like, where? I guess it makes sense for a guy who's just kind of roaming around stealing identities for him to not really have a clear-cut accent. Because he was, logging in Canada for a bit.
Mm-hmm. At least that's what the Wikipedia says. I don't know why I said it like that.
At least that's what he says.
Yeah.
That's what he claimed.
I don't know. There's constant times when I was like raising and lowering the volume, and then it was just like, oh, hold up, can't hear. Oh, now I hear too much.
Yeah, he scream a lot.
Yeah.
Especially at the very end.
His butt's out a lot. Both especially of them. At the very end.
He had the air out. And then, like, Cthulhu's in the lighthouse.
Maybe
not.
Cthulhu's kind of also in that one scene where he's doing some punchies.
Mm-hmm. That that's what, like, it's right near the end where they're, like, fighting, and it's just like, Wake just fighting back, Dafoe's character fighting back, and then it's just like switches into mermaid. I'm like, what the heck? And then it's just like, it's mermaid, like, no longer fighting, and then all of a sudden it's Dafoe as, like,
Barnacle Man.
Yeah. It looked like he was trying to be Triton.
Davy Jones.
Yeah. And he's just like, ah! And then it's just like, okay, I think he's dead now, right?
You're killing me!
You're killing me! You're killing me! Bark like a dog!
It's like, alright there, buddy. And then
No, my favorite scene, honestly, is the one that leads up right to that, where he's like, he found his log of critiques about him and his like work ethic. And then he's like, I found the last man. He was dead. It was one eye. He was in the lobster trap. And William Dafoe's character is like, oh no, I'm stuck here with this guy. And he's like, you used your scrimshaw trinket and you drove us crazy. Well, I'm free of your machinations. I broke it. And William Dafoe's character is like, oh no, he's lost it. And he like throws it on the ground and it's the mermaid figure. And William Dafoe's character is like, what is that? Robert Pattinson's character is like, does self-harming activities in the shed. And I was like, it did seem like self-harm. It didn't seem like you enjoyed it anymore. Bouts of craziness, severance without pay. And William Dafoe's like, you weren't supposed to read those.
Why'd you read my journal? My diary.
That was locked up for a reason.
I don't know. To be fair, the way Dafoe's character was like acting, I don't think a lot of people would be able to like be sane past the 30 days.
the thing is that I thought was interesting with that is the constant going between dinner time and all. It's time to be chatty and glory and happy and drink and
then and maybe kiss.
any other time it's like, why aren't you working? Get to work, you lazy bum! Clean the floor, clean paint, whitewash the lighthouse. Here, I'll lower you down a few feet. Thump, thump.
But don't touch the light. The light's for me.
Yes. Stay away from the light. You're not going up there. Why are you bringing that barrel of oil up here? Didn't you know you have this oil can to use? Now get it down before you light the whole place on fire. And also with that whole scene, the barrel of oil. What are you doing? Catch your breath. I told you to catch your breath.
Yeah, and then it's just like, just all the weird vibes where it's just like, he goes out to the shed and then it does what he does out there, and then it's just like we just see Willem Dafoe just walking out around the light, just like, I'll see you, boy. It's like, okay.
Yeah, but they also had the opposite scene where he was at first, like one of his early jobs was fixing shingles. Yeah. And he has this creepy peeping moment where he's like, oh, I thought he was asleep. His butt's out. And I was like, just put the shingle on there, sir. Just to watch.
Yeah, there was that whole thing. And then it's just like, all right. And then it was just like the other scene where he like wakes up in the middle of the night and he's like, where are my cigarettes? And then realizes he left them like up at the top, and so he goes up and grabs them, and that's when like we see the tentacle like in liquids and slime. I'll let anybody else fill in whatever they want to with that.
Again, black and white. We don't really know what it is.
It could have been a lot of snot.
Dafoe's character looking happy at that particular stage.
He's in a mood. Yeah, and it was just like, okay. And then it's just like, well then. I'm like, all I know is just like, there was something falling from the ceiling and it wasn't a xenomorph spit. And I'm just like, oh man.
Or was it?
Don't touch it. I'm like, don't touch it.
Well, he's going to have to clean it eventually.
Yeah, but that can be off camera.
So then with the Cthulhu stuff, since you've brought it up a few times, do you think there was actually Cthulhu stuff?
I definitely think there was Cthulian and Lovecraft inspiration.
No. Theory. Do you think that the island has Cthulhu connections and that's why they're crazy?
That's the problem. I don't know a ton of Lovecraft myth. It could be, like, one of the things. Like, it feels like, I don't know. It's, like, one of those things, like, where sanity is being drained, like, just over the course of time. I don't know. It seems like just this act alone is beneath an elder god. Unless he was, like, bored. But, well, there's a bunch of other Cthulian creatures out there. So, I don't know. It could feel like at the end there could have been some entity in the actual light, but
when he looks into the light and sees nothing but the light, that also could have been that I thought there was something in just that revelation that there was mm-hmm. nothing but the light in the whole time.
It could be.
Pushes him just over the edge. Yeah, beyond what he already was.
There wasn't. He was already off the edge. Let's be
oh,
real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I'm free.
Yeah, because I know the first time I watched this, my takeaway was basically just like, oh, is a guy, he's a murderer, he's trying to run away from his past. But guess what happens when you sit alone with your thoughts for too long? The past Cthulhu. Comes to life.
Oh, yeah, that.
What did you say?
Cthulhu.
Oh, yeah. The desire for tentacles.
Everybody heard you called?
Yeah, because even the particular shed scene, the one where he seems unhappy with himself, it gets to the point where he imagines himself getting drowned in the middle of his personal time.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. A lot of desire for tentacles. Not here to kink shame, but...
I don't know. but yeah, I don't know. It could have been... Like the... I'm trying to think. Because I know there's like people who write like the Call of Cthulhu game scenarios off of that stuff. That like it could have been that the lighthouse itself was... possessed or itself, and it was like just that island had its own bad juju that like made people go this way, and then it's just like you just had the correct amount of unstable people already on the edge that just was enough to like fully activate the thing without realizing it.
But once you start getting then the other way that ends up playing is once you start getting enough myth and legend around a location, it ends up attracting a certain type of person that is more prone to that
mm-hmm.
and propagates the myth further by virtue of basically the only people that go there are the ones that are already a few screws loose.
Yeah, because Patterson's character specifically said this was the farthest one away, and you got it was like the farthest one, and
the
like,
pay was higher.
The pay
it's the
was
most isolated.
Yeah, it's the most isolated, and it's just I just wanted to be by myself. I get paid more for being here, and it's like, hey, a month away should be fine. And then he killed a bard, and he ruined his whole chance.
I did like the bit where William Dafoe's character, he asked him, he's like, do you have, like, a wife or anything like that? He's like, yeah, they fricka hate me. I'm here all the time. I love the lighthouse. The light is mine. And it's like, okay.
Yep. yeah, because there was the theory that I was wondering if they were the same person was... like, their last night of celebration and everything. Because up to that point, like, their whole relationship with each other was very, like, my brain can't figure out how to pronounce it, but against each other. And they were fighting, and, like, nothing really seemed to be in any form of, like, hey, we're going to... enjoy each other's presence, like, or just get along just for the month. But it wasn't until like the last day and they finally get drunk together, and there's the scene where Patterson and and Defoe switch their smoking implements, where Defoe has the rolled up cigarettes and Patterson has the pipe. And there's just like nothing up to that point made it feel like that is something that should happen. And it really wasn't like, that was one of the things that surprised me, was like I wasn't expecting it to jump to the end. Like I thought there's going to be more of a build rather than just bada bing bada boom, hey, now we're here too long. So I don't know, that was one of the things I remember, just I noticed, I'm like, okay. And then that's when it starts, I think after that, I could be wrong because I only watched it once, it felt like after that point is when we start getting a little bit more information about each character revealed, which felt like, okay, the way they're reacting and everything, and just so at each other's throats until like, well, let's get the alcohol. And it's like, okay. Side note, the thing that cracked me up a lot too was just like, oh no, we're gonna be here late. We gotta get the emergency supplies. Dig here. And it's just a crate with a couple cans and then just all alcohol. And he's like, we'll be fine here. And it's just like, the way they were drinking that stuff, I'm like, I don't think that stuff is going to last as long as they're claiming.
No. And then, like, they also allude to it in the very beginning of the movie. I noticed when Defoe tells a story about, like, serving. And he's like, yeah, there was going to be a mutiny, but we had plenty of liquor. And he's trying to tell the story, and Robert Pattinson's character is like, and it keeps him stupid too, right? And he kind of does the laugh like, oh, you get it. And then it devolves to the point where the two of them have to drink so much to the point where they're just like, basically like ignoring the fact that they're stuck and they're stranded. But yeah, they're drinking, like you said, they're drinking themselves until they're basically like completely obliterated. Because, yeah, there's the other scene where they're just drinking stuff at the bottom of the lighthouse and, like, pounding their chests like beasts and, like, screaming. I was like, ah, yes, healthy. Masculinity, it's great. It's not fragile at all.
It also doesn't help that he went basically a month with no alcohol and then is all of a sudden going all the way in. Like, that's just
his liver never had a chance.
Yeah. It's just going to amplify the effects at that point.
Speaking about poop, we got like 3 minutes left in the timer. Hop brought it up in the beginning. We got to go around. Yeah, I think I would have been extremely pissed off if I went and threw the bedpans and the wind's like, hey, buddy, have it.
Right in your face.
Return to sender. Double it and send it to
at the same time. Why is he trying to dump the chamber pots into the wind?
That's what I was wondering when I was watching it. I'm like, you deserved that.
He clearly woke up and was like hungover and like, I just need to use the bathroom. The chamber pots smell awful. I'm going to hurl. I got to deal with this.
I mean, they're completely full. He takes them out and the wind's just absolutely ripping straight at him. And goes, thunk. It all comes right back.
I do that like it though, physics? Like, I like it a lot as like an imagery thing though, with him like really upset and just the smeared cut like color on his face, because again, black and white, and he's just like walking around with the I think he has at one point the wheelbarrow, and he's going through all these coves and he's like
and the first like,
you smell like shit.
Yeah, it's like, he's like, go wash yourself, and it's just like, you ain't helping, bro.
He's like, I'm going to have to report you to the... I forget what he keeps calling the guy that does the inspections.
The tender, I think.
Yeah, tender. He's like, oh, you keep it up, I'll have to report you to the tender. You smell like shit. And he's like, ugh.
And get this place cleaned up before he gets here.
I just remember they do run out of alcohol at the end of the movie, and that's when they take turpentine and honey.
That's what they're drinking at the bottom, yeah.
That's at the end, and they're just like, it's like, no duh, you guys are getting sick. but yeah, so there was that. It also reminded me, it's just like, okay, yeah, he's staring at the foe's butt, like, through the shingles. There's also the part, like, in the beginning of the movie, like, the very beginning when they first enter, and it's showing you, like, how small and cramped it is. And it's just, Defoe's character is just gone as Robinson is just, I keep saying Robinson. Is that even his name?
Pattinson.
Pattinson. That was close. but Pattinson was just walking around, and it's just like, there's nothing there. And then it's just, he sits down in his bed looking at the other bunk, and then Defoe just bends over, and like, as he picks up his pants, and it's just like, all right, they're close.
Not really many options.
Yeah.
Have to be close at that point.
Yeah. Your farts.
He does fart a lot. If anyone had to smell you, you smell like a lot of fermented man stuff, is what he lists, right?
Probably. I don't know. Is that one of the quotes in.
Oh, yeah. He talks about, he's like, if someone like that, had to. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He talks about, like, foreskin and other manly things.
I also like when they're first walking into the room, one of the, Pattinson's character hits his head on the door jamb walking in, too. Thunk! Mm-hmm. And then ducks down.
I feel like that's probably one of those things they're like, we're keeping it.
I'm like scrolling through, by the way, the time is up, but I'm scrolling through the quotes on the IMDb, and there's one, are you too slow? Are you a dullard? No, sir. Fooled me.
That's a good one, too.
And then wonders why at dinner time, it's like, why aren't you jolly? It's time for fun and chat and drink.
They don't have this. What he smells like? They have like big chunks of like dialogue, where it's just like, this isn't a quote. This is literally a scene that you wrote.
Oh, okay. So I'm gonna go over a little bit of trivia before we get into the final bits of the podcast, if you don't mind. So I like this one. The dream sequence. All right, no, that I don't care about that scene. This one. The scene where William Dafoe's character gives the sea curse to Robert Pattinson's character because he doesn't like his cooked lobster was shot in one single take. According to the director, Dafoe didn't blink for over 2 minutes.
Oh, that slow zoom?
Yeah. Yeah. It's horrifying to think about.
You like my lobster, right?
Yeah, this is... what you were talking about, Robin Patterson's accent is based off a very specific area of Maine farming dialect. Wow, William Dafoe's is a jargon of Atlantic fishermen and sailors at the time. The writer and director, Robert Eggers, was very precise about the actor's accent and line delivery. He would give example, for example, give instruction to say, to say the second sentence of your third line 75% faster.
Ooh, I like this one. There were versions of the script that were too clear. The director Robert Eggers' goal was to make the audience go mad and become confused like Winslow, so the final script turned out being more confusing for the audience.
Gotta make it confusing. Can't have anything straightforward.
Oh, yeah, I just saw that. We never read through the trivia. Yeah. Apparently the mermaid carved by Robin Patterson was auctioned off at by A24 for New York City food banks during COVID.
I love this. Okay, I'm going to say we stop on this trivia because this cannot be topped. Are you ready?
Is it the one right after the one I read?
Close. When asked to describe the movie, director, writer Robert Eggers always used the same choice of words in every interview. Quote, nothing good can happen when two men are trapped alone in a giant phallus. End quote.
And with that, who would we recommend this movie to? Obviously not two men.
I say everybody should watch this movie, but I also just really like this movie, and I like an excuse to talk about this movie. It's like, I think I had the same opinion when we talked about, funnily enough, The Lobster, where I have such a long list of like my favorite things, And this one, I don't know who it makes sense for, but I want to tell people to watch it. The Lobster, it's easier for me to tell who not to watch it because there's a lot of sensitive stuff in that. But this one's just, if you fast forward past the one scene, there's not too much sensitive stuff in this movie.
The poop.
Yeah, definitely the poop. No other innards were
on display. One of those things that I thought would have been really funny if we did have John Elizabeth watch this. Because it would be really funny to have Elizabeth's reaction. And then I'd probably get yelled at for if I did anything close to this in the Call of Cthulhu game.
Well, this way they don't know about it, so...
I am pretty sure they watched it already. At least John has. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's one of those movies, the less you know going into it, the better it is.
I think it makes for good talking points between people.
Mm-hmm. Like, what? What?
But it's like, even with your first watch through D-Pain, you were like, I was curious if this is the case. And I was like, some people think that.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's definitely, I think, at least of the movies that we watched recently, one of the more quotable movies. Because, you ain't fond of my lobster. It's just, that was fun just to say as our friends playing Phasmophobia and Helldivers were just like, what are you on? It's like,
I'm just like, well, I know.
How much time do you have?
It's definitely an experience.
Mm-hmm. But I would say, if you don't like everything, just if you can't stand a movie that doesn't tie everything up and has a clear ending, then like that where everything is explained, maybe not the movie for you. Because this is a movie that's not here to hold your hands. You're here to just be waddling in the land of confusion.
Go ahead.
In some ways, this is like a book that's had the last tenth of it or so just completely ripped off of it, as well as like the first handful of pages just ripped off and said, here you go, enjoy.
I thought you were going to say written by somebody completely different. And then I was going to say, like, the Wheel of Time.
Wow.
No, I mean, I've read books that have kind of like a similar format to this. And it doesn't, I don't know. For me, it doesn't feel so incomplete that I don't think it's watchable. Like, we've watched plenty of other movies where it feels like they started out with a premise and they completely abandon it. And you're like, if you gave yourself 10 more minutes, it'd be better. But I think, even though you say, like, if you don't like movies that don't tie things together, I think this could be, like, baby's first think about it movie. Because, like, there are straightforward themes, and then there are, like, themes you could explore. But it's not necessarily as, like, brainy as, say... What was it? I was pretty young when I watched Eraserhead. And I do like Eraserhead. But telling somebody to watch something by, what's the director? I know you know D-Pain, because they also did Twin Peaks. Lynch?
Yes.
Yeah. But telling somebody
who's...
I'll double check. Yeah. Telling somebody who's not into weird media to watch something directed by that person, Eraserhead's not the beginning into understanding that kind of stuff. Whereas I think The Lighthouse is almost kind of like a way to ease into watching something confusing without it being scary. Because I saw apparently a bunch of people on TikTok saw people talking about like, oh, that baby bird looks like the baby from Eraserhead. And people went and watched Eraserhead and they went, guys, why did you scar me? You didn't tell me that this movie was actually scary. It's like, oh, yeah, welcome.
Surprise.
Is it by Lynch?
Oh, yeah, it's by Lynch. It's him. It's season one and was written by him and another person. And then Season 2 is, I think, a collection of other people, which gets a little weird.
David Lynch. That's his first name. I couldn't remember his first name.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the shows that I'm like, it would be fun. I think it would be fun to do the podcast on. But that's a commitment. We would definitely have a lot to talk about. Yeah. But I could agree with that statement where it's like it isn't so far out there where like people are just like, oh my goodness. Like I think it's definitely after the end, at the end you're like, what the dump did I just watch? But on the other hand it's like, hey, it's you don't need to know absolutely everything, just
vibes.
Sit in it. just let it sit there for a bit. I don't wanna. So. But I don't know. Do we have any other thoughts on the thing? On the lighthouse?
I've watched a lot of other Robert Pattinson movies. So again, that's why I mentioned the accents. What I will also say is I heard a rumor that those scenes where a character takes care of himself in some of his movies, he tells the crew that he wants to do that because it feels authentic to him. And I went, oh. And I thought about it, and I was sitting next to Strider, and Robert Pattinson's butt was out. I was like, oh yeah, he does this a lot in movies. And we both stopped, paused and went, but not in Batman, like in unison. It's like the only movie we could think of that we saw him in that he wasn't actively engaging in something like that.
I was wondering if it was.
Like, we both have somehow, like, not intentionally so, watched a ton of his movies. Because, like, I think he has another A24 one called, I forget the name of it, but he's supposed to be, like, a New Yorker and he's trying to rob a bank. And in that one, his butt is out at some point. And I went, oh, if I had two nickels every time I seen his butt, that's weird. And then the other one
for each cheek.
The other one was like the devil something something. That one has like a
the
whole
devil
star
all the time.
Yeah, that one has a star-studded cast. And then like his butt is out in that one too. And I went, goodness gracious. his accent in that one is wild too. But if you're expecting to see Robert Pattinson engage in something sexual in Batman, you will be disappointed.
That's why it didn't do good in the in theaters. I don't know how well.
But apparently not. You won't be disappointed with anything else he does. If that's what you're looking for.
Now, I did like that iteration of Batman. And the Heron? I think he's the bird, so I don't think he has the opportunity.
That's why there's no like behind the scenes things. He's just standing there like. No bottoms. It's got the pants that just had the butt cut out, and he's just like Rob, you can nah man, this is how I act.
This is
how
this I get is my into, method acting.
Yeah. You saw it and it's like, yeah, I saw it and think it was real, and it's like the cheeks need to breathe, brother.
No, I am a sucker for emo Batman.
I haven't watched it, but I do remember a lot of people getting upset because it's like he refuses to train and is just sitting around, and it's just like, so just like the Batman you're portraying in the movie, he's supposed to be, he's not supposed, because I thought it was like an early,
yeah,
earlier
it's like,
Batman.
It's like when he first learns his, or he's first like figuring out his detective abilities and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like to me. My favorite part is he's also, while being emo, is also extremely socially awkward. There's a point someone's like, hey, isn't this a clue? And they turn around, he's already left the room. I was like, yeah, just like a Batman would do. He doesn't want to talk to people. All of it's going on in here.
That's why every introvert's favorite superhero is Batman. He's like, he doesn't wait to talk.
He's like, I figured it out, and leaves. And everyone's like, oh, where did he go?
I just wanted to talk. No.
In any case, I don't have any other comments about The Lighthouse other than... I will take any excuse to watch it again, just like I would take any excuse to watch Hereditary again.
I was just seeing if I can find the other A24 movie you were talking about.
I thought it was an A24.
Well, here's your excuse to watch it again. Because.
Good time. Crime thriller. It's not on our list.
I didn't think it was. Oh, there it is. Yep.
Look at that still.
Now, the nice thing about that still is can't tell if he's wearing pants. I will copy the link and send it to Knight. But yeah, with that is the end of our episode. Thank you, Knight, for joining. Yeah, we'll have a link to probably his Twitch and Twitter below in the comments somewhere, depending where you're watching this.
Thanks for inviting me to watch more weird movies.
Always. Yeah, at least this one had more of a plot than Ginger Dead Man.
Somehow.
Wait, was Defoe in that one too? No, that was.
No, that was Scared Goosey. Teeth.
Yep. Ah. Perverted cookies. But next week, we are watching. Well, Knight, you can watch this next week if you wish. We're watching the documentary on the social media platform X. We are watching the movie X, the prequel to Pearl. I'll just say right now, Pearl's
no,
after not, that.
No, prequel.
No, Pearl's the prequel to that. Yes. So, yeah.
Maxine will be after. Sequel.
But that's not out yet, to my knowledge. So, we have not watched Maxine. No one has. Maybe except for the editors. That must be annoying, editing. I've done it. Anyway. but yeah, so that will be our next movie. And I don't have anything else. So yeah, until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.